Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, April 28th, 2022, 1 John.
For some of you, Saturday is work day. For me, it's vacation day. I'll be here in my office, door closed, and studying. If I'm not studying, I'm sleeping. But I'll be in there. Now I'm be in there studying. If you go by and you hear some noise, it's not the vacuum cleaner. That's me snoring. So. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Oh, the triumvirate just came in. Not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but... In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, that all that we have and all that we are is by your amazing grace. And we thank you, sir, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word. That spiritual food and manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, corrected translation starting at verse 1. Consider how great, how wonderful, how glorious a love, virtue love, the Father, God the Father, has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And we are the children of God. Therefore, the world, those people living in the cosmic system, they do not understand us, the believer living the spiritual life, because they did not understand him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God, students under the authority and training of God. And what we will be has not yet been revealed. But we know that when he appears, the rapture, we shall be like him. Our resurrection body will be similar to the resurrection body of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we shall see him just as he is. Verse 3. And everyone here is the spiritually mature believer who keeps on having and holding this hope. This hope is hope 3. In Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we haven't exegeted the rest of the verse, but I'll give you previews of coming attraction. Everyone, the mature believer, who keeps on having and holding this hope, hope 3, greater grace blessings awarded to him at the judgment seat of Christ that will glorify God forever and ever. In him, Jesus Christ, keeps on purifying himself, just as that unique person, the Lord Jesus Christ, is pure. Well, that's where we're headed, but we're not quite there yet. The word that we have here in verse 3, and everyone, spiritually mature believer, who keeps on having and holding this hope, great biblical word, the English use of it is sucks. E-L-P-I-S, Elpis, translated hope, but it doesn't mean, well, I hope so. Just the opposite. It means confident expectation. Confidence. Anticipation, expectation, absolute confidence. And the winner believer, mature believer, has maximum confidence in God. Not in man. If you have confidence in man, you're an idiot. But the winner believer has confidence in God. And the mature believer has maximum confidence in God and in the Word of God. And this is the biblical word hope. And in this first part of verse 3, the spiritually mature believer has this confidence about the future. Hope 3. The spiritually mature believer keeps on having this confidence about the rapture and having a resurrection body that will be similar to the resurrection body of our Lord Jesus Christ. The spiritually mature believer keeps on having this confidence of greater grace blessings awarded to him at the judgment seat of Christ, including a superior uniform of light to wear on his resurrection body. And everyone, spiritually mature believer, who keeps on having and holding this hope is hope 3 in him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we started noting some concepts from the Word of God about hope. First of all, there are three hopes, three different categories of hope in the Bible. The first hope is the hope of eternal life. The second hope is the hope of greater grace blessing for time. And the third hope is the hope of greater grace blessing for all eternity. Eternal crowns and rewards awarded at the judgment seat of Christ by the Lord Jesus Christ to the winner believer. And that's our verse, 1 John 3:3. Hope 1 is knowing that by believing in Christ, you have eternal life. When a person expresses positive volition at God consciousness, then God provides the gospel to that person, no matter where he is. Any person in the entire world who goes positive at God consciousness. Now, I can even tell you the point when I became positive at God consciousness. I was in junior high school. I was in eighth grade math class. Mr. Hilton was a math teacher. And he had asked somebody if they knew the 23rd Psalm. This is the math teacher. Asked us in eighth grade math. Anybody here know the 23rd Psalm? Well, hell, I didn't know the 23rd Psalm. I never went to church. I never even looked at a Bible. And a girl raised her hand and said she knew the 23rd Psalm. He said, would you come up and recite it to the class? And she came up. Now, this will never happen today. No, this won't happen today. Today you'll have somebody come up and talk about homosexuality and lesbianism. But you won't get the 23rd Psalm. And so she got up and I listened, and she recited the 23rd Psalm. And I listened, and as I listened, I sat there and said to myself, I really believe there has to be a God. And I'm a total unbeliever, never go to church, never went to church, didn't have a Bible, didn't study it. But I'm listening to her. I really believe there has to be a God, because I just looked at mankind. I never could buy this concept that we started out as a little amoeba that turned into a fish or a frog, came out and climbed up into a tree and became a monkey, and then jumped out of the tree and became man. I really had a... To me, you talk about having faith. I'm sorry, I never had that faith that's where I came from. I thought the only reason that I'm here is that there has to be a God. Well, that was in eighth grade. I didn't become a believer in Jesus Christ until right before my senior year. But God made sure that I got the gospel. And when I heard the gospel, it was one of my football coaches at John Rogers High School. He was a believer in Jesus Christ, and I didn't know it. But he said, Olson, he said, you need to go to this camp. It'll be the greatest week of your life if you go. And he didn't say anything about it. He said, I guarantee it'll be the greatest week of your life if you go. So I went. And it was Malibu, not in California, thank God, not in California. It was up in Canada, British Columbia. No roads went into the place. The only way you could get there was by seaplane or by boat. And we went by boat. And when I got there, it was absolutely beautiful. Right on the Pacific Ocean. Had a golf course, 18-hole golf course, right on the ocean. I thought, this is phenomenal. And then they had basketball courts. They had all kinds of things. And I go, this is going to be really, I like this. And then the first night, the fella got up and started talking about God and the Bible. And I got so mad. I got so mad that my football coach that I respected sent me to some religious camp. Well, it wasn't a religious camp. It was a Christian camp. I didn't listen to a thing that first night. And the next day, we were out playing golf, and I was a total asshole out on that golf course. I did everything possible to make people upset and mad. If their golf ball came over, I threw it in the ocean. They come and say, did you see my ball? And I said, I think it went in the ocean over there. Of course it did. I threw it there. And this is what I did all day long. That night, the fella got up in front. He said, first of all, for a man to believe in God, you got to believe that God exists. But first of all, let me explain to you what the Bible has to say about man. And he read from Galatians 5 about what the sin nature and man's nature is like. And he went through naming all these sins. That day, I had committed every one of those sins except fornication. I guess I didn't have time. I don't know. But I committed all the rest, and I was convinced that some of these people ratted on me. And I was mad again. And then he said, now let me describe what the Bible says God is like. And he read the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, and self-control. And he says, then he gave the gospel. I knew one thing, I didn't have those things. I had just demonstrated that I was spiritually dead, totally depraved, living by my old sin nature, and everything he described about the sin nature was what I was doing, and what he described what God was like, that was not me at all. And then he explained the gospel, that Jesus Christ went to the cross, and while he was there, all of your sins, he said, every one of you, all of your sins were gathered up and poured out on Christ, and he paid the penalty for your sins, all of your sins, once and for all. And if you believe in him, he will not only give you the gift of eternal life, but he will come and live inside of you. And he will produce this love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control, and through the filling of the Spirit, will be produced in you and through you. Well, I believed in Christ with as soon as he gave the gospel. But when I got back to my cabin and got up in my bed, and I was in an upper bunk in my bed, I put my head down on the pillow, my butt up in the air, and I, over and over again, I believe in Jesus Christ. 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 I did that about 20 times. I wanted to make sure God knew that I'm in. Well, that everything turned around at that point. But God consciousness occurred in eighth grade. And I remember sitting there listening to this girl recite the 23rd Psalm, that I believe there had to be a God, but I didn't know who he was. I didn't know how you had a relationship with him. But all I had to do was go positive a God consciousness, and God provided a gospel hearing. That was up in British Columbia at Malibu. So hope one is knowing that by believing in Christ, you have eternal life. And when a person expresses positive volition at God consciousness, God provides the gospel. Gospel hearing converts the potential into the hope of salvation. And that hope is knowing that when you believe in Christ, you have eternal life. Titus 1, 1 and 2, Titus 3, 4 through 7. Hope 2 is absolute confidence that when you reach spiritual maturity, you will receive your greater grace blessing for time. Galatians 5, 5. Hope 2 is based on the imputation of divine righteousness, establishing a grace pipeline. When God's righteousness was imputed to us as salvation, this became a standing order for us to advance to spiritual maturity. Hope, too, is motivation to press on to the objective of spiritual maturity and those greater grace blessings waiting for you since eternity past, so that Jesus Christ can be glorified. James 4, 6 through 8, 1 Peter 3, 15. These greater grace blessings include, in time, include spiritual blessings, temporal blessings, blessing by association, historical impact, suffering for blessing, dying grace blessing. Hope 3, which is what we have in 1 John 3, 3, is absolute confidence that at the judgment seat of Christ, you will receive your greater grace blessings for eternity. Now, all of this was under four sub-points, or rather we studied, this is point four, hope three, we studied four sub-points under hope three. The first sub-point, hope three, is always related to undeserved suffering or suffering for blessing, so that you are always blessed in undeserved suffering. The second sub-point, hope three is the greatest, most dynamic thinking that can exist in the soul of the believer. Hope three is absolute confidence of receiving blessing and reward at the judgment seat of Christ, because you already have the reality of the blessings of hope two and the necessary doctrine to produce hope three. Three, sub-point three, resurrection is part of the confident anticipation of hope three, since blessing is imputed to the resurrection body, Acts 23:6. Sub-point four, hope three is the source of great happiness to the spiritually mature believer, since it makes eternity a reality, Romans 12:9-13. Now that brings us where we start tonight. Sub-point five, hope three is reserved in heaven for the spiritually mature believer. Colossians 1:3-5. So turn over to Colossians chapter 1. I hope you brought your Bibles. We study the Scriptures. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Colossians 1, verse 3, we always thank God, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Paul, by the way, had a fantastic and powerful prayer life as a spiritually mature believer. And his prayers were powerful and effective and accomplished much. When we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the virtue love you have for all the saints. Impersonal love for all your fellow believers. The faith and virtue love that spring from the hope, hope three, that is stored up for you in heaven. So hope three is reserved in heaven for the spiritually mature believer, Colossians 1:3-5. Six, the spiritually mature believer anticipates this hope. This only the spiritually mature believer. This is only true. You will never, ever appreciate hope three until you reach spiritual maturity. This is true of the spiritually mature believer. Turn over to Titus. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Now remember, hope is confident anticipation, expectation, looking forward. Titus 2:13. Looking for confident expectation of the mature believer. Only the mature believer is looking for the blessed hope. And the blessed hope is Jesus Christ and the rapture, the appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. The mature believer has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. He has personal love for God the Father, which motivates him, personal love for all. He has occupation with Jesus Christ. His most important love is Jesus Christ. He enjoys Jesus Christ moment by moment and day by day. Jesus Christ has made himself at home in his heart, moment by moment, day by day. He has this fantastic conversation and fellowship with Jesus Christ in his heart because he's occupied with Christ. And therefore, he's looking forward, anticipating, looking forward to Christ coming back, the rapture. And why? Because right after that, well, there's the great genuflex, and then the judgment seat of Christ, and the judgment at the judgment seat of Christ, he will pour out crowns and rewards, greater grace blessings on all spiritually mature believers. So this is the spiritually mature believer looking for the blessed hope, the appearing of our glory, of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. No one really understands hope 3 until he reaches spiritual maturity. Subpoint 7. The spiritually mature believer constantly possesses this hope. The spiritually mature believer constantly possesses this hope. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6. You don't have to go very far from Titus. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6, verse 18. In order that by two immutable things, that is, God's word and God's person, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement. We who have fled for refuge in laying hold of the hope, hope 3, set before us. Laying hold of it, possessing it. You have it in your soul. This hope, hope 3, we have as an anchor of the soul, only in the mature believer. Only in the mature believer. This hope, hope 3, we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus Christ is the advance guard, because he has already received his resurrection body. Subpoint 8. Hope 3 in the soul of the believer purifies his motivation and perpetuates his spiritual momentum. 1 John 3, 2 and 3, that's our passage. Beloved, now we are the children of God, students under the authority and training of God. And what we will be has not yet been revealed. But we know that when he appears, rapture, we shall be like him. Our resurrection body will be similar to the resurrection body of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we shall see him just as he is. Verse 3. And everyone, every spiritually mature believer who keeps on having and holding this hope, hope 3, in him, Jesus Christ, keeps on purifying himself, just as that unique person, Jesus Christ, is pure. Subpoint 9. Undeserved suffering gives us concentration on hope 3. Suffering for blessing gives us concentration on hope 3. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. In fact, I was studying this while I was running spiritual hurdles my spiritual hurdles of, well, COVID, first of all. That was the first spiritual hurdle, COVID. And then surgery, the next spiritual hurdle. And so I was running, while I was running spiritual hurdles, and I couldn't be in here teaching. I wanted to be. In fact, I asked my doctor before the surgery, "Now, doc, I know you're going to do a great job. I'm going to thank you now, and I just want you to know you're going to do an awesome job, and so thank you for what you're going to do. But now, look, how long before I get back in the saddle?" And he looked at me. I don't know if anybody's ever said that to him before. He said, "What do you mean, get back in the saddle?" I said, "Well, I'm a bull rider on the PBR circuit. How long before I get back in the saddle?" He looked at me. I said, "Okay, I'm a pastor of a church, but they're very similar. They're very similar." And he says, "Oh, it depends on how the surgery goes. Could be 4 to 6 weeks, or it could be 6 months. Or if it really gets all screwed up, you'll be in the saddle in heaven." I said, "Okay." So I was running spiritual hurdles, and I was in Romans chapter 5, and this was so much fun, even though I was just on the studying end and not the teaching end. It was so much fun. And I can't wait till we get to chapter 5. We're in chapter 4, but Romans 5, let's start at verse 1. "Therefore, having been justified by faith," justification by faith in Christ, "we have peace with God." Now, this is... we're going to see this in great detail. One of the much mores that we have, the Apostle Paul has two much mores, and one of the much mores is the much more of reconciliation. The word is peace, eirene, E-I-R, long E, and long E. And eirene means peace. It's usually translated peace in your Bible. But this is a word that is used as a technical term for the doctrine of reconciliation. And there are several passages in the New Testament scriptures where eirene is a technical term for reconciliation. And that's how it's used here in Romans 5:1. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God." Reconciliation. The barrier has been removed between God and man. There is a barrier between God and man that is so great, it's impossible for man to get across that barrier to God. Impossible for man to get rid of that barrier, clear that barrier, jump that barrier, kind of like Evel Knievel trying to go over the Grand Canyon in a motorcycle. He went about 100 feet and parachuted down the bottom. Well, man can't get across that barrier. The only way we can get to God is through Jesus Christ. Reconciliation. Jesus Christ removed the barrier between God and man by his work on the cross. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace," reconciliation with God, "through our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice, this is peace with God. The barrier has been removed. The hostility has been removed. And then verse 2. "Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And this is hope 3, verse 3. And not only this, but we also exult in our suffering for blessing. Tribulation, suffering for blessing. Knowing that suffering for blessing brings about perseverance. You okay? You need a drink of water? Jack Daniel? I knew she'd say yes for that one. You can't have any. And knowing that suffering for blessing brings about perseverance. And perseverance brings about proven character. And proven character brings about hope. Hope 3, confidence. And hope 3 is not ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ, because the love for God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Spiritually mature believer, live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advance to spiritual maturity, has virtue love brought to completion in his heart, has qualified for great suffering for blessing. And what is the objective of that suffering for blessing? To bring you to hope 3, which will not be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ, because the love for God, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ, has been poured out within our hearts. That's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. To live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and have virtue love brought to completion in our heart. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. And it's all of that is here. And here God says, and you know the toughest man that I have ever known, it isn't the fellow on 12 Strong. I've seen 12 Strong several times. It's a great movie, and because it's absolute truth. And here you have 12 men going in, and they all 12 come out, and they accomplish their mission. It was the greatest triumph in our military. Fantastic. But I'll be real, as great as those men were, the toughest man ever who lived was the Apostle Paul. And you saw this last night. 2 Corinthians 4. For these momentary light afflictions. And then we went to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and looked at these momentary light afflictions. Are you kidding me? Momentary light afflictions? He was the toughest man ever. And now he presents it again. And not only this, but we exult in our suffering for blessing. Paul had so much. Just read through 2 Corinthians 11, 2 Corinthians 4:16. Knowing that tribulation, suffering for blessing, brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, confidence. Hope 3. And confidence is not ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. Because the love for God, only the mature believer has personal love for God and occupation with Christ. Because the love for God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to it. He's living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, you advance to spiritual maturity, and you have personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. That's the confidence that the winner believer has. And that's why the winner believer, not a big deal, suffering for blessing. Oh, there'll be pain. Might be a lot of pain. There was a lot of pain with the Apostle Paul. But it's not a big deal. Because you have qualified as a spiritually mature believer for the highest categories of suffering for blessing, evidence testing. The Apostle Paul went through that evidence testing. The Lord Jesus Christ went through that evidence testing in his true humanity. We see the Job in the Old Testament went through that evidence testing. So undeserved suffering gives us concentration on hope 3. Romans 5, 2 through 5. Phenomenal passage. And looking forward to when we get there. 1 John 3:3, corrected translation as far as we've gone. And everyone, spiritually mature believer, who keeps on having and holding this hope, hope 3, in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, purifieth himself. This is the present active indicative of hognizo plus the accusative singular of the reflexive pronoun heautou. Hognizo looks like this in the Greek. There's the rough breathing mark. That's the letter H. H-A-G-N-I-Z, long O. Hognizo. Hognizo, point one, literally it means to purify. Now, what does that mean? If I said to you, purify yourself, what would you do? Some of you might take a shower for the first time in a month. You call that purifying. Some of you would just take a little tequila and pour it over your body. Call that purification. Al always brings me the mail. He always brings me the mail, and there was an advertisement for tacos and tequila. Special deal. And I said, Al, do you want this? Yes! I said, why? I'm going to purify myself. Two, figuratively and in our passage, it means you have made the good decision to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. That's how you purify yourself. You make the good decision to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Three, you have chosen for virtue. You have chosen for honor, integrity, grace, righteousness. The reflexive pronoun, heautou, H-E-A-U-T-O-U, heautou, means himself, and this is his soul, his heart. The perfect tense has linear action start. The spiritually mature believer keeps on purifying himself. The active voice, the spiritually mature believer performs the action of the verb by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic principle of the Word of God. Point four. The spiritually mature believer who purifies his heart by obedience to the truth of Bible doctrine. Somebody, is that for me? Not for me? Okay, I thought they were going to try to straighten me out or something. The indicative mood is declared. This is the dogmatic principle of Bible doctrine. Point four. The spiritually mature believer who purifies his heart by obedience to the truth of Bible doctrine has accomplished the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. He has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. 1 Peter 1:22. The spiritually mature believer who purifies his soul by obedience to the truth of Bible doctrine has accomplished the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. He has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. 1 Peter 1, 22. Turn over to 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1:22. Now that you have purified, here we have the same verb, hagnizo. Now that you have purified yourself, this is the reflexive pronoun, heautu, your heart, your soul. And how do you purify your heart or soul? By obedience to the truth. Bible doctrine. Obedience to the truth of the Word of God. Bible doctrine. So that you have virtue love for your brothers, your fellow members of the royal family of God. Love one another deeply with impersonal love from the heart. How is that accomplished? You have purified your heart by obedience to the truth. Consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine, virtue love is brought to completion in your heart. That's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. And here you got it all put together right here in 1 Peter 1:22. Now that you have purified your hearts by obedience to the truth, Bible doctrine, so that you have virtue love for your fellow believers, love one another deeply from the heart. Impersonal love for all. You can only do that if you have purified your heart, lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, reached spiritual maturity, the ultimate objective in the spiritual life, have virtue love brought to completion to your heart. Point five. Now, on the contrary, point five. The reversionistic believer who is living in the cosmic system, the Bible says he is split-souled, disukos. He is split-souled, and he is commanded to purify his heart, which is tantamount to reversion recovery. The reversionistic believer who is living in the cosmic system is split-souled. In fact, I'll give you the word, disukos. D-I-P-S-U-C-H-O-S. Disukos. Di-tu-sukos, souls. Split-souled or two-souled? That's the reversionist. That's how God, one of the ways God describes the reversionist. So the reversionistic believer who is living in the cosmic system is disukos, split soul. And he is commanded to purify his heart, which is tantamount to reversion recovery. Turn over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James 4, we'll start at verse 6. But he gives us greater grace. This is greater grace blessings to the spiritually mature believer, the winner believer. Greater grace blessing for time and greater grace blessing for all eternity at the judgment seat of Christ. This is why the scripture says God goes to war with the arrogant, but he gives grace to the humble. You see, humility is respect for authority. Respect for the authority of God. Respect for the authority of the Word of God. respect for the authority of the pastor who teaches the Word of God. So God, it starts out, God goes to war with the arrogant. They do not have humility. But he gives grace to the humble. Verse 7. Submit yourselves, humble yourselves, then, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God. That's consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. That's living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and attaining spiritual maturity. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Greater grace blessing for time, greater grace blessing for all eternity. Then he says, wash your hands, you sinners. That's a rebound. You're in the cosmic system. You need to rebound. 1 John 1:9, get back into fellowship with God. So the first here is, wash your hands, you sinners, rebound. But then he says, and purify your hearts, you disukoi, you split-souled ones, you double-minded ones. And this purification is a mandate for reversion recovery. Well, not just rebound. There's a lot of Christians out there that are Christian yo-yos. In, out, in, out, in, out, in, out. They don't grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. They learned rebound and they go in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. But they are not living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. The spiritual skills, the filling of the Spirit, that's spiritual skill number one. Spiritual skill number two, consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God. That's the only way you're going to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and execute God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. So as you consistently and faithfully metabolize doctrine, divine viewpoint, absolute truth of the God-breathed Scriptures, that hauls out all the garbage of human viewpoint, and your heart is being purified. Reversion recovery. So the reversionistic believer who's living in the cosmic system is split-souled, disukos, and he is commanded to purify his heart, which is tantamount to reversion recovery. So, corrected translation. And everyone, spiritually mature believer, who keeps on having and holding this hope, hope three, in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, he keeps on purifying himself. That's the winner believer. That's the spiritually mature believer. Not the loser believer. He's spending too much time in self-centeredness, arrogance, living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. And then he says, even as he is pure. This is the adverb kathos plus the demonstrative pronoun ekenos with the present active indicative of the to be verb eimi plus the adjective hagnos. Kathos. K-A-T-H long O-S. Kathos. Kathos is a comparative adverb, and it's correctly translated just as. So kathos sets up a comparison. Let's note the comparison. One, it sets up a comparison between the Lord Jesus Christ living the unique spiritual life with spiritually mature believers living the spiritual life. So it sets up a comparison between the Lord Jesus Christ living the unique spiritual life with spiritually mature believers living the spiritual life. Two, it sets up a comparison between the Lord Jesus Christ with virtue love brought to completion in his heart and spiritually mature believers with virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. So, two, Lord Jesus Christ. It sets up a comparison with the Lord Jesus Christ, with virtue love brought to completion in his heart, and spiritually mature believers with virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. Three, it sets up a comparison between the Lord Jesus Christ with maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart, and spiritually mature believers with maximum metabolized doctrine in their hearts. And then we have the demonstrative pronoun ekenos. E-K-E-I-N-O-S. Ekenos. Now, Arntgen Gingrich, The Greek Lexicon, page 239. Says, ekenos is used of well-known or notorious personalities. It is especially used of Jesus Christ. And therefore, Arntgen Gingrich says, it may be correctly translated, that unique person, that unique person, that unique person, the Lord Jesus Christ, living the spiritual life in his true humanity. Jesus Christ, the true doctrine of kenosis, the voluntary non-use of certain divine attributes to carry out the incarnation plan of God the Father. The incarnation plan of God the Father for Jesus Christ in his true humanity was to live this unique spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God, by the power of Bible doctrine that he learned. And in his humanity, he had to learn and grow up just like you do. And he grew up to spiritual maturity in his humanity. He was filled with the Spirit 100% of the time. He lived the unique spiritual life by divine power, the power of the Spirit of God and the power of the Word of God in his heart. And then this was passed on to us, and that's exactly this unique spiritual life. It's the only way it can be lived. It can only be lived by the power of the Spirit of God and the power of the Word of God in your heart. So this should be translated, and we will translate it, that unique person, the Lord Jesus Christ, living the spiritual life. Ami is a to-be verb, is. Then we have the predicate adjective, hognos. It's the adjective that comes from hognizo, pure. Predicate adjective is the emphatic use of the adjective. The whole purpose of the sentence is to predicate that Jesus Christ in his true humanity is pure. Sinless perfection. So one, this emphasizes the impeccability of our Lord's humanity living the unique spiritual life. This emphasizes the impeccability of our Lord's true humanity living the unique spiritual life. We have a role model. He's not a role model for loser believers. He's not a role model for reversionistic believers. He's not a role model for Daisukos believers. He's a role model for a winner believer. Two, the Lord Jesus Christ was the first member of true humanity who lived the unique spiritual life. He was the first member of true humanity who lived the unique spiritual life. Three, the Lord Jesus Christ is our role model. And the unique spiritual life has been passed on to the royal family of God of the church age. The Lord Jesus Christ is our role model, and the unique spiritual life has been passed on to the royal family of God of the church age. For, therefore, we are mandated to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advance to spiritual maturity, and have virtue, love brought to completion in our hearts. Jesus Christ had virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. He had personal love for God the Father. That's what motivated him to go to the cross and fulfill the incarnation plan. God the Father designed the incarnation plan, the cross. And Jesus Christ in his true humanity had virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. He had personal love for God the Father. And so he willingly went to the cross. We'll never understand. We'll never understand. None of us will ever understand all the suffering for blessing that Jesus Christ went through. Impossible to understand all the world's sins poured out on us and judged. We can never understand someone who has never even committed one sin. Didn't even commit one sin. He was impeccable, sinless perfection. In his deity, he wasn't able to sin. But in his humanity, he was able not to sin because of the spiritual life God the Father gave him. And he lived that spiritual life by the spiritual skill. He lived in his true humanity by the power of the Spirit of God and the power of Bible doctrine in his soul. And that's why when he went through unfair trials, when he was laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, spat upon, thorns crushed on his head, and beaten and scourged and scourged and beaten and scourged, so that his closest friends could hardly recognize him. And then crucified on a cross, and his own people standing around the cross, Jews, unbelieving Jews, standing around, jeering at him, mocking him. See? He can't even save his own life. How's he going to save anyone else's? But Jesus Christ had virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. So he obeyed and carried out the incarnation plan of the Father. And when he was on the cross, he looked at these people and he said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was impersonal love for the scum of the earth. Impersonal love for the scum of the earth. What motivated him? His personal love for God the Father. This spiritual life that had been given to us, designed for us to have virtue, love brought to completion in our hearts. Personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all, and occupation with Jesus Christ. 5. For the church age believer, the only purity in life is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. For the church age believer, the only purity in life is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Six, there is no purity, no virtue in the cosmic system. There is no purity, no virtue in the cosmic system. Seven, as a result of filling of the Spirit, spiritual skill number one, and consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine, spiritual skill number two, Your soul and heart is in a status of purity and virtue. As a result of the filling of the Spirit, spiritual skill number one, and consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine, spiritual skill number two, your soul and heart is in a status of purity and virtue. 8. The spiritually mature believer has purity of motivation, purity of priority, purity of grace righteousness. Purity of motivation, purity of priority, purity of grace righteousness, virtue, honor, integrity in his heart. 9. The spiritually mature believer does not make his decisions based on arrogance, self-centeredness, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, the cosmic system. Rather, the spiritually mature believer makes decisions based on living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill, virtue, love, brought to completion in his heart, and glorifying Jesus Christ. We are here to glorify Jesus Christ. We're here to glorify him in time. We're here to glorify him for all eternity. And for the mature believer, which we have in our passage, everyone, every spiritually mature believer who keeps on having and holding this hope, hope 3, keeps on purifying himself just as that unique person, the Lord Jesus Christ, is pure. And when he stands at the judgment seat of Christ, Jesus Christ will pour out greater grace blessings, crowns and rewards, crown of righteousness, crown of life, crown of glory, order of the morning star, which will glorify Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. Those blessings don't glorify the individual. They glorify Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. And there will be believers that will have no crowns and rewards awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. They will lose out on all greater grace blessings for eternity. They'll be in heaven. They won't lose their salvation. But there's great inequality in heaven, from winner believers to loser believers and everything in between. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.